Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life as a dry millennial.
Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I've been alcohol-free for 1 year, 3 months, and 11 days.
That's officially a long, sober count intro, Kaylee.
Yeah, that's a long-ass time. I really want to reach 500 for some reason. That's going to be the next, milestone I'm really excited about.
I love that. Yes. Hi, I'm Katie, and I have been alcohol-free for 1 year and 2 weeks today.
Just past that 1 year mark. Now you're like one plus.
Mm-hmm. I'm grown up. Yeah, I don't have to say wait, I could say it. I am 12 months and 2 weeks sober.
Awesome. Well, how are we feeling this week?
Oh, okay. Well, we just got back from a mini vacay, so I've had the week to settle back in, and I'm starting to finally feel like myself again. I was a little blue coming back from California and just trying to get caught up at work and at home and getting back into my routine. But I am feeling better. I've had a couple nights of my rituals, and I'm really excited to get some time this weekend with my family and just around the house. So it'll be a good one. Things are feeling good. What about you?
Well, today is my first full day back home because I was in Eugene for a little bit before I popped back up to Portland. So I really feel, it's cheesy to say, but I feel like the trip was super inspiring for me, and it was just what I needed, and I feel ready to get back to work and start this new job and get shit done.
Yeah, you've had a serious amount of time off.
Yeah, I don't know how how I lucked out, but I'm transitioning. I'm starting a new job, so I got to take vacation without thinking about work or what's going to be coming when I come back from vacation. And I've always worked in places where I can't really take time off without just screwing over my schedule before and after I leave. So it was really cool to just totally have the free mind space and be able to fully take advantage of just recovering from some burnout and relaxing. And now I'm actually excited to work really hard and do really good. And hopefully, I know I just started, but I'm already wanting a promotion. So
I love that.
Because I'm fucking psycho. But anyway.
Go-getter.
But I have, been eating out pretty much for every single meal. And I'm just really excited to go grocery shopping because I'm bloated and I don't feel great right now. So.
Dude, I totally get that. It was nice having my home-cooked meals this week and, just getting back into that regular schedule. I feel like we did pretty well, though, in Palm Springs. We did eat out, one meal a day, but I also felt like I was pretty proud of us all around.
Yeah, we did do a really good job. It was when I got to Eugene, I definitely ate a bunch of my favorite spots. So we hit up, Toshi's Ramen, yeah. And I don't think it's even necessarily the food. It's just eating out at restaurants for, long periods of time. It's probably because I don't eat vegetables. That's probably it.
No, I get it, though. And so many of those places you visited and you went out to eat at are so, nostalgic for you. I feel like the act of going to a restaurant with your friends in your hometown is so therapeutic.
For sure. We went to the same breakfast restaurant twice. And yeah, there were just some things I wanted to hit up. So speaking of the topic of food and vacations, Katie, what are we talking about today?
Well, Kaylee and I recently went on vacation to Palm Springs after being in the gray Pacific Northwest for the last 4 months, and it was so great, but I have just so many feelings about myself in summer clothes, and it always kind of smacks me in the face. I kind of forget about them, right? Because I'm in the PNW, it's rainy, I'm wearing jeans, I'm wearing sweaters, I'm living my best life and whatever the fuck I want, and then I'm reminded, what does a summer body look like in fucking January, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel like summer clothes and being in a swimsuit, being around other people in a swimsuit, vacation is always a little bit tough for me. And so I think a lot of that is also just connected to alcohol. And there's so many different ways that alcohol can affect your body image, or your body image and the way that you feel about yourself can also be linked to how much alcohol, you know, you consume, if that was a coping method for you. So today we're going to talk all about body image and booze.
For sure. It's, you know, that self-worth piece that we've talked about a couple of times in relation to alcohol in your body, you know, just using alcohol as a way to, I hate to use this word, but lubricate how uncomfortable we feel in so many of those situations.
I love that you're like, I don't want to say lubricate. I hate the way it sounds, but
I hate the way that it sounds so fucking much, but it is like the perfect word to describe the way that alcohol in the moment relaxes you.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the things that always drove me to drink was when I didn't feel comfortable, or, you know, I was insecure, or I just didn't want to feel the feelings that I had. And So a lot of those for me all through growing up, from the time I started drinking alcohol when I was like 13, had to do with body image and the way that I looked, because that's always been a really big theme in my life and something that I'm still working through. So
yeah, for sure. So tell me about that, Kay. Like, what was your relationship with your body and body image? There's so much to cover here. So I think that we're just going to do our best to just communicate what our relationship was like while we were drinking alcohol. So yeah, that's my question for you.
I feel like my kind of obsession with being a thin, blonde, attractive person started really early for me. And then, of course, all of my favorite movies were like Cher from Clueless, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. The main character who got to live out their, you know, their best life and got to have that main character energy and like get the guy in the end or get the dream job or whatever. They were all thin, blonde, attractive women. And so to me, that's been the goal that I've been trying to achieve pretty much my entire life. And so coming to terms with the fact that that isn't as important to me as so many other things, like being a good friend and a good person and contributing to the world and all that shit. Yeah. So I'm really feeling like now that I don't drink, I have the time and the space and like the perception to be able to start working on those things and start addressing my relationship with my body and myself. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side of that, whenever I was insecure or not feeling pretty or worried that my, you know, boyfriend was cheating on me with someone hotter or whatever, or triggered by like, oh my God, I look so ugly in this swimsuit. You know, it's vacation time, I would usually just drink a ton. So it was like this back and forth kind of cyclical relationship with alcohol causing the problem and then not being able to understand that.
Yeah.
Before I got sober.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, and I'm just going to do a little segue here because it's an opportune moment. Sometimes when we think about sobriety or, you know, being alcohol free and health and body image, we kind of go in the direction of like, oh, I quit drinking because I want to lose weight. And I just want to make a statement at the beginning of this episode to assure people that that is not why we're having this conversation, right? The issue of alcohol and body image just goes so much deeper than what's on the outside. And so I think that's really what we're going to be covering today.
Yeah. And it's interesting because that was, I think I mentioned in a previous episode, a reason that I stated for wanting to start going booze free was because I had a goal, an aesthetic goal for my body, and I just couldn't reach that with alcohol. It was just adding too many calories, you know, for whatever my personal opinion of what that should be. And now I forgot that that was even one of the things that was a perk for me in the beginning.
Dude.
Because now it's like, the farthest thing I think about now that I'm sober. Like, there's so many other benefits that are so much more important to me than that.
Oh, I love that you said that. That's what I was looking for, because I'm like, I was thinking about this last night after we kind of planned out our episode today and just talked about a couple of the things we wanted to cover. And I went to bed and I was just thinking, I am so glad that I am booze free and my weight has literally not one single fucking thing to do with it.
Yeah. And dude, I have to gather my thoughts because it's been mind-blowing to me. I've been really mean to me about my physical appearance for my entire life, and I still am. So obviously, like, that tactic just isn't working, right? Like, beating yourself up to do something, whether it's like just go for a walk, go to the gym, you know, eat a vegetable, is never going to actually make you do that thing. So I found that focusing on my mental and physical health and focusing on the aspects of sobriety that get me excited, aspects of exercise that get me excited, you know, it's just way easier for me to be motivated to do something when I'm excited to do it versus having this imaginary drill sergeant telling me that I'm a piece of shit for not doing X, Y, Z. So
totally.
I've been working out more than I've ever worked out in my life, but it's also because I'm excited to do it because I've just been reaping the benefits of sobriety. Like, it just feels good to move my body. I'm excited to go to class. I love waking up early. I can actually feel when I eat healthy versus when I don't eat healthy, because when I was drunk all the time, I just was always sick because I was always hungover. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. I love all of that. And I totally threw a wrench in your, you know, relationship with body image while you're drinking alcohol. So I apologize, but that was everything. I totally hear you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty much it. And then I used to sometimes like skip dinner and just drink a bottle of wine instead because I was like, same amount of calories. I'll just drink wine. So fucking stupid. So my early 20s, I would like do that and then just end up like throwing up. It looked like I swallowed blood capsules, like Halloween blood capsules every night.
Oh my God.
So
every time you say that, because you said that in the No Shame November episode.
Yes. You mentioned drinking on an empty stomach.
Yeah. And then how that just like is a breathing ground for the shame and the numbing of everything that you're experiencing, you know?
Puking and eating and not eating. Ugh, it was bad.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when I was drinking heavily in my early 20s, especially, I had a lot of deep-rooted feelings and was running into some, like, a narrative that I was the big friend. I've always had that. I'm the big sister in my household. I am the tallest woman in my household. I have the biggest energy. I'm the loudest. My feet are big. I like to exaggerate. Everything about me is big, right? And so in my early 20s, it started so much earlier in life, but really when I was drinking heavily, I was in this position where I had a roommate who's absolutely gorgeous and everything, but we have super different body types. And I felt really insecure about mine. And I really thought that sexy was small. And I still struggle with that.
Yeah, well,
I'm just big boned. Like, I'm athletic and I'm beautiful. I genuinely know that. It's just, I'm still incredibly hard on myself.
No, totally. And not to blame it all, because I know that there's like work that I could be doing in this area. And we'll talk about that in the tools and resources part of the episode. But the early 2000s women, like, you know, this is a podcast for everyone, but by millennials. And the early 2000s, dude, you had Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie on The Simple Life who were like fucking so skinny. And low-rise jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fuck those, dude. Those were so tight and, like, just exposing. And I felt like I couldn't wear them unless I starved myself all day as a 16-year-old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. My body definitely changed pretty young. I started my period when I was a fourth grader, you know? So I think I was 9. And so I always looked more mature than everyone else. I always had a C-cup in, like, my freshman year of high school. And then, you know, I just continued to become more of just like a womanly body, what that means to me anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to be small. I wanted to be one of those like hot, skinny skater girls, surfer girls, you know, like.
Yes. Dude, Roxy, PacSun.
Yeah. And then I got to this age where in my early 20s, where I wanted to be like an alt girl and not like scenester. I didn't go through that really. It was more of like, you know, I was part of the like body modification community a little bit. I have stretched ears and, you know, went through that whole stage, and we've kind of talked about that industry, I think, on a couple of episodes. But mm-hmm. yeah, it was just cool when you're alternative to be little. And maybe that's just the way that I received it. Anyways, I would go out drunk and dancing and just get hammered and just search for any attention that I could in my early 20s. And it's really interesting. It was, and I just compared to myself to everyone. I thought then that, you know, there was something wrong with me. And I know now, and 40-year-old Katie's going to laugh at this statement, I'm sure. I know now that the energy I was putting off was mm-hmm. not a very magnetic one. You know what I mean? Like, I was putting off energy that felt like I didn't love myself. And I think that that really is what reflected back to other people. And so that is that self-worth piece. And it's not anyone's fault. These are my genetics, right? Like, sometimes we don't acknowledge our genetics enough. Like, that's not happening. And that's problematic. Even Steve and I talk about it, my husband, in the bodybuilding community and in the weight training community, there are so many people using performance-enhancing drugs. And body dysmorphia exists in all realms, not just in a couple. So anyways, tangent there. I also had this problem. I had this problem.
Oh my God.
In high school. This fucking kid, and I'm not going to say his name because he lives locally and it was so long ago. It's unbelievable. But he...
If you subscribe to our Patreon, we'll get a Patreon going and we'll rat him out.
Oh my God. I will totally do that. It'll be like an 86th page because fuck that guy. Like, I am 30 still sitting here thinking about it and my therapist is like, maybe it's time. And I'm like, never. Anyways, he called me a butterface.
That is so fucked up. That term is so mean.
Yeah. Then when I kind of reflect back, I always use my body as a means to be attractive. I never thought that anything else could be sexy. I thought I had an unattractive face. You know, I thought that I was ugly. I know now that I am not. I am beautiful inside and out. However, because of that, I found that I put a lot of weight into the looks of my body and the sexuality of my body and the way that it was supposed to present to men.
I was just going to ask what the relationship was. I feel like if you talk to, you know, most women our age or folks who were socialized as women at the time that we were growing up, moms or parents in general, and siblings and just like your household and the way that your family talks about weight and body image and stuff like that can definitely affect some of those things. So I'm just curious, you know, you mentioned that you felt like you were like loud and big, and it seeming like you might have got messages that you were like too much or in the way. And I'm curious how, especially when you lived with your mom, what her relationship with her body was and how she spoke about that to you.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't remember a lot about in that area from when I was little. And I know a lot of that messaging is put in place from, you know, 0 to 12. That's like on a scientific level, that's where we pick up most of the feelings we have about self. So I'm not sure. I know that my mom is tiny. My mom was 5'3", 5'4". And like 100 pounds when I was little. Yeah, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. My mom was never hard on me about my weight or the way that I looked, really. I don't remember. Anyway, she had a standard to the way that we dressed, which I get because I was fucking wild out in middle school. I was like, I want to wear a 4-inch skirt.
Yes, I would hide clothes in my backpack and then I would fucking change in the bathroom and be like, bitch.
Dude, that's exactly the same thing. And so I think that's pretty normal. It's about control and, you know, on both ends, for my mom and for me. But yeah, I remember eating decent meals. We weren't like a healthy family, but we were an unhealthy family. We had a good balance of like, this is so funny. I grew up in Michigan, so no one at me about this. So, like, we would have balanced meals, like hamburger helper and iceberg lettuce salads and, you know, mac and cheese. I don't know what the fucking other dish would be. And then sometimes we ate out and we would go to, like, Red Lobster. You know, we always just were going with the flow. But my mom is also a really good cook. So she would make, like, her old world manicotti was always my favorite. And she would make it on Sopranos nights, which was Sunday, when her and her friends would watch The Sopranos together, which I love.
That's so cute. I love that your mom had, like, female friends over and you got to, like, see that too.
No, that's not really no. My mom didn't have a lot of, like, not true.
Never mind.
My mom would go across the street with the manicotti to our across the street neighbors who were their friends, who were a couple, Dennis and Dee Dee, and then vice versa. So my mom didn't not have friends, but she's definitely more of an introvert, which I think is where the next piece comes in. So my mom is really introverted and my sister's kind of quiet herself. And I am not. I'm learning now that without alcohol, I enjoy recharging alone very much so. And I become extremely territorial over my alone time too, because I think I gave so much of it up in wanting to numb and wanting to be loved and wanting all these things from other that I thought I would receive from other people, right? For so long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that that aspect of my big ass personality was annoying to my mom. I mean, she's kind of even told me, like, she's like, you just make a big deal out of everything.
Yes, dude, you mentioned that in the To Be Magnetic work where you had to ask, you know, people to really kind of let you know what bothers them about you. And your mom said that. So it makes sense that you were picking up on that when you were younger. And that's, like, okay, obviously. Yeah. Like, we love you for that exact same reason. Exactly. So it's all good.
And that's what she said. She's like, well, those are the reasons I love you too. But yeah, so I had some of that. And then weight fluctuation. Like I said, my body went through puberty at a young age. And so I just had a more mature looking frame than other people. And all of that put together, add alcohol and unstable early 20s. And it was just like a fucking shit show. I didn't care about what the fuck went in my body in any sense. Zero. I mean, from food to not drinking water ever. You know, not having safe sex, even in my early 20s, and just not really treating my body like the temple that it is. And then, yeah, removing alcohol from it has helped so much. That's all I can say.
Seriously, like, I don't know. I kind of use, like, the example of, like, you don't know how much you're feeling like shit until you stop doing something. And once you feel good, that feels so good. Like, I have more energy. I'm not fucking shitting my pants every day that I was hungover anymore. I was so sick all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fucking dehydrated. And now drinking water feels so good. Just, like, getting up and walking my dog feels so good. Ugh, I don't know. It's the little things that actually, like, really fucking feels good. And once you have that, it's more motivating to not drink. Now that you are out of that cycle of feeling like shit and you know what feeling good looks like. Same with, you know, an analogy of, like, a shitty, you know, relationship. Mm-hmm. And then being in a better one. You're like, oh shit, this is cool. I don't want to go back to that other way. So it's been really motivating for me in that sense. My body's a temple also.
I love that.
My body's also a temple now.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it is.
Hell yeah.
Another thing that I am working on, because I am one that will do this from time to time, is rating foods on the good to bad scale. I really, really, really think it's important to start talking about foods from a nutritional standpoint, like, oh, that's a carbohydrate, oh, that's a fat, oh, that's a protein, like, just knowing, right, scientifically what food does for our bodies, and removing that narrative that there is a righteous way to eat, that there is a good way to eat, things that directly represent morality in the food spectrum, A, because it's a fucking racist system and classist,
yeah,
and only people with money, with privilege, have access to quote unquote good foods and should, you know, it's just the messaging is just all wrong. And, you know, we have those conversations in our household a lot. Eating healthy or eating, you know, intentionally is the term that we use in the house. Okay, this is an intentional meal. I am intentionally going to get this much protein because I did this exercise today and it's what my body needs. I need these carbs to refuel. These fats do this for me, you know? So I think changing that conversation has been really helpful for me as well, and Steve. And I hope Iris, our daughter.
That's so cool that Iris gets to grow up in an environment like that, because my mom, my grandparents, everyone would just make such comments, just all the women in my life, of like, oh, just cut me off a really little piece of the cake, a really little tiny piece. Oh, no, that's too much. I'm never going to be able to eat all of that. Or I shouldn't. Or just all of this language around food. Or like, wow, you must have been really hungry. Or, you know, just...
Ugh. I once had an uncle come up to me and say, oh, you eat like a bird. And for whatever reason, I looked up at him and I had just learned this. But I was like, did you know that a bird eats 3 to 4 times its body weight in one day?
I love that you just like looked up and was like, I'm gonna school you, motherfucker.
Yeah, I was probably 12 when he said it. I was like, fuck off. And speaking of 12, Iris, my daughter, is 12. And she's doing a project right now in science about carbohydrates, proteins, and lipids. So I think it's a really good idea to refer to fats as lipids. I think it is a better term all around language-wise. And so it might be something that we start doing in this house. She's the one that mentioned it.
That's so awesome. One time when I was in cheerleading, of course, because I like needed to be the blonde, skinny high school cheerleader in, you know, I wanted to be Bring It On.
I love you.
Kirsten Dunst from Bring It On. So we were at a cheer competition and we were heading home and we all stopped at McDonald's first because it's like, okay, we have to feed 12 girls and, you know, we're on the road. And I'll just like order whatever. And one of the girls who I fucking love, she ordered a 20-piece chicken McNugget. She just did like 3 back handsprings and she was a tumbler. So she just did a giant fucking workout. I don't know if we had anything to eat the whole day. This other cheerleader goes, oh, Sammy, that's a cheer no-no.
No.
And I was like, hey, what the fuck is a cheer no-no? I hate that. Please never say that again. Second of all, I fucking love Sammy and I think that she's a bad bitch. So she can eat as many chicken nuggets as she fucking wants.
Yeah, fuck off.
She's ripped, first of all. And even if she wasn't, she could still eat as many chicken nuggets as she wants.
Mind your own fucking business.
Yeah, but especially with cheerleading, I mean, our school is known for having the shortest skirts in state. And it was a 2-piece. Like, your entire midsection, granted I was 14, was showing, you know? And so it was very much like all of the girls who were on varsity were on the South Beach diet.
I hate that so fucking much.
So there's a lot to unpack and work through, yes. But I'm excited.
So, okay, how did things change for you once you decided, you kind of talked about this a little bit, but like what specifically changed for you when you decided to, you know, reframe the way that you interact with alcohol in, just in general?
Yeah, for sure. There are definitely some things that I'm still working on, but I think even being able to acknowledge that I need to work on them and also that I have been doing little things to slowly get better at just having a really negative body image. I have a really hard time, you know, photos, videos. And it is like what you said, Katie, like the most attractive thing is people who are confident. And so confidence and self-worth and all of those things are what I'm going to be focusing on in 2022. Woo-hoo! With meditation practice that I'm really looking forward to starting and also just continuing on that path of focusing on my physical and mental health and, you know, well-being and trying to be as happy and healthy as I can be as a person. And so before that, I was just focusing on quitting drinking, or I was doing like all of these fad diets. I did the 21-day fix, I did paleo, I did keto, and I couldn't commit to anything. And then I would beat myself up about not being able to commit to something. I'm really trying to work on listening to my body, and not having alcohol in my body makes that easier. I don't know, I can be more intuitive about my eating and my body and what my body needs when I'm not fucking hungover and sick all the time. So that's been really cool. And that was something that really helped motivate me in like the first month of going booze free for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny that you said that, because today I was on Instagram and I saw that someone posted something that said, "What did you get back when you quit drinking?" And this woman said her intuition. And I was like, damn, I feel that. You spend so much time that first 6 months to a year just trying to figure out what to do now that you don't have alcohol in your life. The first 6 months, I feel like you deal with not drinking. And then 6 to 12 months, you're like, what the fuck do I do now? And then getting to that 10-month, 12-month mark, and everyone's journey is different, really comes in like the being able to listen to yourself and get to know yourself on another level. So I fucking hear you.
Yeah, that's been really awesome since I quit drinking. And then the straw that broke the camel's back, I think, is honestly, you know, now that I've stopped drinking and have the space for it, just realizing I'm just exhausted. I'm honestly really tired with how much it affects my life. And I don't know how many, you know, other folks can relate to that. And I know that it's important to understand that all bodies are beautiful, and that the standard of being super blonde and super skinny, like, is a just not achievable for everyone because of genetics and things like that, but also is just not true. There's so many different people, and I've met so many different people that are all across the board in terms of what they look like. And I think that they're absolutely stunning. So, but it's really hard for me to believe that that is true for me. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that's going to be a continuous practice. Yeah, I'll keep you all updated on the journey. I always, of course, want the magic fix to figuring this shit out, whether it's, you know, doing keto and cutting out an entire food group for a month, or just wanting to immediately be like, it's fine, I accept my body now, everything's great, I love myself, and my body is a temple. But in reality, I'm like, I hate the way I look like a fucking potato.
Oh my God. And
not just in shape, but in like every single feature. And it's just, of course, it's ridiculous when I say it out loud, but I'm just like, fuck, man, like, I hate my fucking face today. I hate my, you know, the way my pants fit. I hate this shit. And so I'm just trying to neutralize those thoughts and just be like, calm down, girl. We're all good here.
Yeah. It's like, you're gonna chill. You know, it shouldn't matter. But like, at the same time, I always think about that. I'm like, who the fuck cares? I'm the only one that cares. And I just sometimes wish I could escape that narrative. You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. I really wish that I did not base so much of my self-worth on whether or not I'm like hot and fuckable and young and people think I'm cool and fashionable. I have a huge fear of aging. I have a huge fear of not being attractive. And I think that comes from the value and the things that my parents focused on and talked about and for me and for themselves. And, you know, it was reinforced by what I was seeing on television. And yeah, I'd be really interested to hear other people's stories of their childhood and growing up and some things that their folks said to them and ways that they're trying to reverse that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's different. I will say my self-worth isn't connected to the way that I look. My self-worth would be more on a level of like how other people feel about me. So I'm in a little bit different situation than you are. But when I quit drinking, I was like, okay, I'm gonna work on my shit, right? Like we all do. Learned pretty quickly that that was just code for replacement addiction with fucking hardcore exercise.
Dude, I am really struggling with replacement addiction right now. In so many different ways. But I want to know more about that because fitness has always been a part of your life. And so I'd just be curious how that's changed since you've quit drinking.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I played sports in high school and then really fell off once I graduated from high school. I had a couple injuries. And then when Steve and I got together a few years after he decided that he was going to get fit. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. He seems so happy. Like, he was just in a great place. And he had been struggling with body dysmorphia and always has. And, you know, he kind of talked to me a little bit about that. And still, he's like the hottest person I've ever fucking seen. And he hates himself. So, you know, we all working on it.
I love that he shared that, though. Mm-hmm. There's a significant portion of, I think it was 30% when I looked at it, but there's a ton of men who struggle with that stuff too. So
yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna also work out. And so I fell in love with CrossFit. And that was at a time when my friends were all still doing the single girl thing. And I had kind of settled down with Steven, so I was feeling isolated, which is not anyone else's fault besides my own, but also a great experience for me to have a change in dynamic with my friends and, you know, transformed into like a family with my family. And so I started working out a lot, and I also was not drinking very much when I was working out a lot. Like, I was much more responsible with my habit, I should say, but then I got hurt and then I would drink. Once Steve and I got married, I was like, oh, I don't need to work out for anything, right? Like, this isn't motivated by the wedding or whatever, which it wasn't ever really about my weight. But sometimes it is easier to have a goal to be working out towards something. You know what I mean? Just because for me, it's willpower, whatever you call it. Bad conditioning, probably, to be honest with you. Not sustainable also. But anyways, we will revisit that.
Yeah.
But once the wedding came, I got kind of injured right before, and my drinking really ramped up. Steve and I got married in September of 2019, and a couple months before that, my drinking had really ramped up, and then COVID happened a few months later, and when COVID happened, we're in Oregon, and everything shut down here. I mean, we didn't have gyms open for the better part of a year.
Yeah.
I was so passionate about group fitness. Working out by myself was really hard. Fortunately for me, I had a great personal trainer. I would go to his private garage gym at his home, and he would work out with me once a week, but it just wasn't enough, you know, I wasn't doing anything at home. And so then when I quit drinking, I got back into the gym, and I was going like 6 days a week and sometimes doubles.
Damn, that's a lot.
It was a lot, but I swear it got me through that first 3 months. But I got hurt, and then I was like, I am not going to slip up this time. Like, I'm not going to start drinking because of this. Being able to move my body means so much for me and my mental health, and it has for a really long time, and I'm so fortunate. But what can happen is that you put all of your eggs in that basket to being able to work out, to work off a craving or a trigger or a bad day or bad energy or boredom. Like, you know, when you put all of your eggs in that basket, you don't have a lot of other fucking tools in sobriety if you get hurt. And it happened to me. And so I really had to be like, okay, I need to spread my wings in other ways. And that's kind of how Reframe happened, my relationship with Reframe, working for them a little bit. And then also this podcast was born out of that. So, you know, that feels really good. But I'm kind of back into my double time fitness right now. And I have a hurt ankle, of course. So here we are. Yeah. And I'm doing a lot of this self-worth, authenticity code and things like that with the 2B magnetic work that Kaylee was talking about. And because of that, I'm kind of getting to know myself and having this authenticity shift, right? Where I'm like, I didn't fucking like that. I didn't want to wear that. These are not things I really wanted. These are just things that I saw other people doing and they were doing them. And so now that I understand what I want my life to look like, I'm trying to figure out how my body fits into that. Do I like the clothes that I'm wearing and how they make me look and feel? I'm just trying to take it easy one step at a time, but avoiding negative self-talk and holding myself to a standard that I would never fucking hold someone else to. I'm learning how to heal that. And like you said, I love that, you know, just being neutral on bodies. So, you know, I love the saying all bodies are beautiful, but sometimes it's easier to be like, all bodies are bodies and they keep us alive. And I'm fortunate that mine works, and trying to place value in other things. My skinny blonde looks different than Kaylee's does. Mine looks like she can fucking squat 280 pounds. It looks like she can run a marathon, and it looks like she lifts weights 5 days a week. and is buff as fuck. But that is still not an attainable thing for everyone. And it's still not a healthy mindset for me to have, because so much of what you see on the internet and on fitness accounts and on health apps and all of that, it's not even fucking real, first of all.
Yeah.
Photo shoot, you know, all of the ways we manipulate
angles, all the angles.
Yeah, manipulate our body, use makeup, filters. I mean, it's all not real. And so I'm really trying to just sit in what is real. And what's real is the body that I have. And so I'm just trying to figure that out as I go.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned, Katie, like stepping into your authenticity. And I feel like that's a really exciting place to be.
Scary, but yes, exciting.
Yeah, but almost like that acceptance, which I think is helping me a little bit. Like, paleo is not sustainable for me.
Right.
Keto is not sustainable for me.
And as we talked about before, keto, low carb, 21-day fix, those do not get you closer to what our actual goals are now that we are sober, right? Like, being authentic,
yeah.
Being authentic is the goal. That's what's achievable. And yeah, I'm sure body stuff is going to come up in that, but guess what? It is so much less important once you identify what your core motivators in life are and what's going to bring you to the next level of yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And to be like, this is what feels good to me. This is what feels good to my body. This is what feels authentic to me. Climbing fucking feels good, and biking feels good. And, you know, doing my Make a Burn classes feel fucking awesome. But running feels bad. Running makes my knee swell up so bad, and I don't like it because it doesn't make my body feel good. I get shin splints every single time I run. I'm always injured after a run and have to take, you know, like 3 days off. And I think to myself, running would be so good for my mental health. I should totally run. I need more cardio in order to lose weight if I really want to get down to X number again. And I'm just trying to be like, that's not for me. But here's all the other things that are, and I'm excited to do those. And I need to just follow that excitement. Like I mentioned before, I think it's being okay with some shit like that of like, yeah, everyone I've seen who runs a lot has a body type that I admire, but I'm not going to be a fucking runner, dude. Like my knee is fucked.
Dude, I was going to say, like, right now I'm doing the running thing. It's the first time I've ever done it. I was like a short distance sprinter in high school. And, you know, I smoked cigarettes for 12 years, a pack a day for 5 of those 12 years. And
yeah,
it's really hard, but I am getting to a point where I enjoy it. And I really like Orange Theory and just like having a coach and the weights and, you know, the bike and all the other things that it brings to the table for me. But I hear you, because there are so many things that I can do. And with replacement addiction, I was so addicted to that cardio high that I actually didn't want to do the other exercises because I wasn't getting that same crazy endorphin kick and that crazy dose, right? I'm always about the extremes. And so trying to come down from that is something I'm really working on. And I'm so fucking proud of you for going a route that feels good for your body, because it's hard. Not everyone can do that.
I also feel like we could do a totally dedicated episode to replacement addiction, you know? And fitness is just one of those things. So I think, like you said, trying to make sure that you don't have all of your eggs in one basket, mm-hmm. and kind of figuring out what are other things that you can do that make you feel good, and just keep adding to that list. And you might not have them all right away.
Totally. What are you looking forward to in this next part of your sobriety? I kind of feel like, you know, we're both getting into that work where we're ready to truly self-improve and not just like blow smoke up our asses and like post shit on Instagram about it, because that's where I was at. And I'm ready to like do the work now. But where are you at with that? What are you feeling like?
Okay, so speaking of being excited for things, I am on a mission to make junk food or like comfort food or like shitty food in a way that serves and fuels my body, right? I want like a plant-based fucking Crunchwrap Supreme and nacho cheese over red potatoes, but the nacho cheese is made with carrot. It has to taste good, but I'm really excited to start building staples of food that makes me feel good and doesn't make my stomach react, because that's been something I've been struggling with for a huge part of my life. But I'm like pumped to eat. Like I'm excited to fucking have dinner. And I like to cook. And my partner has been getting more into cooking lately, which is really exciting. So I think one of the things that we're going to do for quality time is just pick out a recipe that we're excited about and make it together. So
I love that.
I'm glad that sobriety is giving me more space and time to cook at home. And I'm also going to work on boundaries with work and other things that I say yes to make sure that I don't have to do it every day. I really want to try and let go of like that perfectionism. I want to still order a burrito at you know, midnight every once in a while, if that's what sounds good. But I'm pumped to start adding a new hobby to my list for replacement addictions and have that be cooking. So
I love that. Yeah, I think a huge thing that I've really come into in all of this is I'm just trying to eat what's available to me. Like I just need to eat.
Yeah.
I just need to grab out of the fridge what I can and eat it. And I have this habit of waiting all day and riding out that coffee high on an empty motherfucking stomach. It is my favorite thing to do.
Yes, I do it.
I have a stomach of steel, right? Like, I don't get nauseous or irritated by anything. However, lately I've been getting low blood sugar and getting dizzy and getting lightheaded. And so I'm really just going to focus on eating when it's time to fucking eat.
Yeah, I hear that, man. I will drink 3 cups of coffee, not eat anything, and then I get so nauseous that nothing sounds good to eat except for, like, I swear to God, bread and cheese.
Yeah.
Like, I feel so sick to my stomach, but if you hovered a piece of broccoli under my nose, I would vomit. Only in cheese quesadilla mode at that point. So it's really important for me to continue to snack on things throughout the day so I don't want to throw up and then eat a giant plate of spaghetti and then try and go to bed and my body just feels like a fucking hot air balloon.
Oh my God, yes. Well, I hear that. And I think with the work that you're starting, the To Be Magnetic work, what it's kind of given me is, alongside with being alcohol free, right? Being alcohol free has cleared some blocks and made space for other healthier habits. So being alcohol-free has given me the time to figure out how to clear some blocks and make space for better habits, and is aligned with the higher self-worth piece, right? Where I'm like, oh, I'm not a piece of shit. Like, I deserve to make myself breakfast. My body fucking deserves that. I deserve to clean the kitchen when I'm done. I deserve these things, and not because I'm punishing myself, but because this is what my body needs to function properly and to feel my best.
Right. Yeah, 100%.
It feels really good that being alcohol-free is one of those things that I deserve. I deserve not to be sick and drunk. I deserve to feel good and to know myself. So that's kind of where I'm going, what I'm looking forward to in the next 6 months, man.
I love that, dude. I think even just I deserve to feel good as a neutral mantra, if you will, to practice if you are someone struggling with body positivity. I just love that. Like, I deserve to feel good. Like, I don't deserve to feel like shit. I'm a good person. Dude. I want to feel good, dog.
Right? Yeah. I definitely know I need to take the dysmorphia piece a little bit deeper in therapy and in my meditations. I mentioned to Kaylee, and her and I talked about this a lot, actually, when we were down in Palm Desert. Full body pictures are hard for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize that. I like highly curated. I want it, my body to look a certain way. I want to be making a certain point with my foot or a shift with my hips or something to elongate my body. I'm 5'7". Like, I'm tall.
Yeah.
Literally feel like I'm 5'1". Not that there's anything wrong with being short, but like, I don't feel tall. And it's because, you know, it all goes back to a lot of like the messages that were being sent to by social media and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm going to try to make a dedication of sharing my whole body and do it in a less curated, less judgmental way.
I love that. Let me know how it goes, because I don't want to do that at all.
I'm not ready.
I
love you. And no one has to be ready. That's the best thing. Like, there's no reason to. It's just something that, like, I just don't identify with the way that I look in photos. And I think that that's fucked up, because I am a hottie with a body.
I feel like just continuing, like I said, I'm not ready, man. Like, if you follow my social media, there are very few photos of me that's actually my face. And if it is, it's the same fucking selfie where I'm doing the same angle. I'm not ready to necessarily, like, reball the fucking Instagram photos that I allow to be shown on my account. But I do really want to continue to focus on my body and mind and just, like, feeling as good as possible and being excited for those things that'll help me achieve that versus focusing on aesthetic goals. And I just want to feel, like, healthy as shit. Like, I just want to feel, like, hydrated and good and not have headaches and not have, like, the shakes from drinking too much caffeine. I'm excited about that. So before we jump off, Katie, what are some tools and resources for folks who may have some association or correlation between their drinking or not drinking anymore and body image?
We have talked about it a lot this episode, which wasn't the plan, but the To Be Magnetic work, meditation, anything that is doing any kind of like subconscious reinforcing of your self-worth and your whole self is going to help you in so many ways. It doesn't even, not even body, mm-hmm. not even body, right? Like mind and soul and actually no body. Like meditation helps heal parts of your brain and it just relaxes you and it helps anxiety and depression. Like there's just so many benefits to meditation. So I think that that's like a huge one for moi anyways. And if anyone that is listening is like, oh, what the fuck? I don't know how to meditate. I want to tell you that I also did not know how to meditate and I thought I had to be good at it. And you don't. Like meditation is just being kind to yourself as you allow things to clear from your mind. And there's a lot more there. But anyways, message me because I will tell you, you can fucking meditate. It's just like running. You're a runner if you get out and you walk on the fucking pavement and you jog and shuffle your feet. So same with meditation.
I'm going to be starting my first meditation and got all signed up for To Be Magnetic. So I'm going to be trying it this weekend. So if you're new to it, we can do it together.
Yes.
And I'll keep you posted on how that goes in our next episode. So wish me luck.
Yeah. Yes. I was going to say something that I think I'm putting on my list is supporting businesses and brands that have a body neutral stance, right? That could look like something obscure and small that's local to you that is owned and operated by anyone that is outside of the mainstream, you know, whatever at all. But then also, that could even mean, you know, buying from a company like fucking American Eagle that doesn't Photoshop the blemishes and the fucking cellulite off of their models, right? Like, I mean, it could be anything. So
yeah.
I really just want to support brands that try to represent all body types. The Girlfriend Collective is another one, Kaylee, that I know that you love and that I think is doing really amazing things in that industry. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, so I think that we can put a couple of those in the show notes and in the copy because I think there are some good ones out there that deserve to be represented.
100%. And then, you know, not only following brands, but also something that's been helping me is I've been following a lot of Instagram and TikTok accounts of folks who are body positive and who speak about body positivity and who aren't afraid to show their real body on social media. And that's been really helpful too, especially just to continue to see people of different body types and be like, that person's hot as fuck. Like, I think that person is so attractive and just so cute and so cool. And, you know, just realizing that not like just 90s size zero Hollister jean. That's not even, it's so not it. It's so not it. And yeah, the more that you can follow and just hear about other people's experiences and see and be exposed to other people is going to help you realize that there's so many fucking different bodies out there and that they're all hot. Everyone's hot.
You're all fucking hot. So what are the key takeaways that we want to leave people with today, Kaylee?
Oh, well, I feel like I could just keep talking about this subject forever because there's so much, but I really think like hitting home how booze affects the ability to be your healthiest self. Like you just can't really know what feels good and what feels authentic and good for your body personally, right? Because everyone's different. When you are under the the influence of alcohol or just the effects of alcohol or being fucking hungover all the time, because you're always going to feel like shit, dude. It doesn't matter if you eat a salad or if you eat a 20-piece chicken McNugget. Like, if you just drank two bottles of wine to yourself and didn't have dinner the night before, you're going to feel like shit.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. I feel like, much like in the beginning of our alcohol-free experience, journey, whatever you want to call it, you know how we had to take pause, avoid to drink, right? Mm-hmm. That's like a very evident thing that we all had to do. Be like, okay, what? Take the moment. No, I don't need alcohol. And then you go to something else. Well, I really like the idea of doing that with negative thoughts about your body.
Yeah.
Thought comes up. Take that pause. I'm safe. I'm loved. Move on. Right? Like,
yeah.
I think that that's something that we could all implement. And I know it's so much easier to say than it is to do, but we thought that same way about alcohol and removing it from our lives. And so I think that these tactics apply to more than just booze.
Yeah. And those thoughts never serve you, at least for me. But I think this should apply. Like, you are way more likely to do the things that will make you more physically and mentally healthy, right? Like, go on the walk, get some sunshine, fucking take a beat, you know, eat something that will nourish your body if you are excited about doing those things, mm-hmm. versus if you tell yourself that you're a lazy piece of shit for not doing them. So going easy on yourself, I promise, it's so much easier to say than to do, but you're going to be okay. My fear was always, oh, if I'm not hard on myself, then I'm just going to literally melt into the couch and the couch will consume me. And I will only eat Taco Bell cheesy gordita crunches for the rest of my life. And like, no, not at all. Mm-hmm. So try it out. Let us know how it goes. But just try going a little easy on yourself. See what happens. See how you feel.
For sure. And then just to tie that into Dry January, it's the same thing. You know, if you were participating in Dry January, whether it's with us or 1000 Hours Dry or Reframe App, whoever, like, there's so many amazing resources, and you are not dry right now, remember, you can start over at any time. You can start over fucking tomorrow, and we can add you to our Dry January challenge, and we'd love to, so just hit us up. I did want to take a second to say that it's been amazing to connect with people from around the world in our Dry January group. We have people from Australia, Atlanta, Haley, help me out here, Colorado,
Cleveland, Ohio,
yes, New Zealand,
Eugene, Portland, of course.
We have some peeps from Texas. I don't know why I always say it like that. Steve says Teja, brother. Yeah. And then we have multiple people from Canada and the UK as well. So that's fucking dope. We are starting each day with a light journal prompt. And then some days, like today, we took a little break. It's been a long 2 weeks of, you know, writing out that first part of Dry January. And most of the withdrawal symptoms should subside at this point. But things start to get a little sticky. You start to really start to feel things without alcohol at this point in that journey. So I'm super proud of everyone that is giving it their best shot.
It's been really awesome just to have my own experiences validated. There's been so many times where I've responded and been like, oh, girl, yes. Yeah. Or, you know,
yeah.
Just to be able to commiserate with folks, because it is a hard time for a lot of people. But knowing that we've all been there, I think is super beneficial. And we would absolutely love to have more people join. If you're doing Dry January, please, you don't even have to post or like contribute or commit or anything. Just hang out in the group and read some of the stuff other people have to say, because their stories and their reasonings behind wanting to get sober have been really inspiring and motivating for me. So,
oh my gosh, totally. I mean, just the like vulnerability in the group has been so good for me. Sometimes when you've been alcohol free for a long time, you get a little bit out of touch with how hard it was in the beginning, and you know you're dealing with a different set of hard, but listening to people talk about loss that they're going through and still not picking up a bottle, it's pretty fucking amazing. So shout out to all you peeps. We also got a couple of new reviews. So I wanted to say thank you to Kelsey, who is a fellow sober millennial. And then we got the sweetest review from someone named JN. I'm not sure who it is, but you are all the best for giving us that feedback and just sharing what you think about Dry Hard with us and then with other people. Every time you share any of our content, you are making sobriety or an alcohol-free mindset more accessible to people who weren't exposed to it before. So I want to leave everyone here with a reminder that if you're looking for 24/7 support from other people who are quitting booze or cutting back and evaluating their relationship with alcohol, don't forget to download the Reframe app. It's available on iOS. If you do, use code Katie, K-A-T-Y. It takes 15% off of your first in-app purchase. I'm telling you that Reframe has tools and resources that you need outside of this podcast, outside of scrolling on Instagram. If you're not in meetings, it's a great way to have some contact with people who are on the same journey as you. We took last week off and
we're back.
We're back, bitches. So we're back on schedule, and we wanted to put it out there in the universe that if there are any topics or things that you are itching to ask about or that you think needs more time and attention, we would love to do a Q&A and kind of just touch on all of those topics for anyone who wants to share. So shoot us a DM, comment on our episode post. It's never too late if you're listening to this and it's May. Always bring us the ideas and whatever you're thinking, because we want this to feel like a community conversation.
And yeah, that's our episode.
Good night.
Bum ba na 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 do. That's when the music starts.